Chapter 5. Dear Beth. While Mrs. March was away in Washington, the March sisters wrote to their mother often. After their mother had been away a short time, they received news that their father was getting well again. The sisters were relieved to hear that he was improving, and they soon fell back into their daily routines. Joe caught a bad cold from forgetting to cover up her short hair and was ordered to stay at home until she got better. The other girls kept busy in their own ways. Amy with her art, Meg with writing long letters to their mother, and Beth with her household duties and playing the piano. Beth had also been visiting the Hummel family every day. They were a poor family from Germany who lived nearby. Beth brought them food or helped Mrs. Hummel with her baby or children whenever she could. All their little duties were faithfully done each day while their mother was away, but dear Beth was the only sister who never forgot any of her responsibilities. Meg, I wish you'd go and see the Hummels with me. You know Mother told us not to forget them, said Beth. I'm too tired to go this afternoon, replied Meg. Why don't you go yourself? Amy asked Beth. I have been every day, but the baby is sick and I don't know what to do for it, answered Beth. My head aches and I'm tired, so I thought maybe some of you would go today. Meg agreed to visit them the next day, so Beth lay down on the sofa. The others returned to their work, and the Hummels were soon forgotten. Later that afternoon, Beth put on her coat, filled her basket with bits of food for the poor children, and went out into the chilly air to the Hummels' home. It was late when Beth returned to the March house. She went straight into her mother's bedroom. Half an hour later, Joe went in to get something and found Beth sitting by the medicine cupboard looking very serious, with red eyes and pale skin. "What's the matter?" asked Joe. Beth put out her hand as if to warn Joe to stay away from her. "Have you had scarlet fever before?" she asked. "Years ago when Meg did. Why?" asked Joe. "Mrs. Hummel's baby died from it today," replied Beth. "The doctor came to see the baby, but it had already died. He then told me to go home and take some medicine, or I'd get the fever too." "Oh, Beth!" exclaimed Joe. "You've been with the baby every day for more than a week. I'm afraid you're going to have the fever too. I'll call Hannah as she knows about sicknesses." Hannah soon came into the room and examined Beth. Thinking she could have scarlet fever, Hannah sent for the doctor. Joe helped Hannah make Beth more comfortable, and the family waited anxiously for the doctor. Dr. Bangs eventually arrived at the March house. He said Beth did indeed have the symptoms of the fever, but he thought she only had it mildly. Amy was ordered off at once to Aunt March's, since she had never had scarlet fever, and they didn't want her to catch it from Beth. Amy departed with Joe and Lori as her companions. However, Beth was much sicker than anyone but Hannah and the doctor suspected. The girls knew nothing about illnesses, so they had no idea how poorly Beth was actually doing. Joe devoted herself to Beth day and night. It wasn't a hard task. Beth was very patient, and she never complained about her pain. There came a time when the fever seemed to get worse, and Beth called out for her mother. The girls hadn't wanted to trouble their mother with news of Beth's illness while she was away taking care of their father, so they waited impatiently. Meg begged to be able to write to their mother with the truth of Beth's condition, but Hannah said there was no real danger yet. Dr. Bangs came twice a day to check on Beth, and Hannah sat up at night with her. Meg kept a telegram in her desk all ready to send off to their mother at any minute. By the 1st of December, Beth had gotten much worse. After Dr. Bangs had checked on Beth in the morning, he said to Hannah, "If Mrs. March can leave her husband, she'd better be sent for." The telegram was sent to Mrs. March, asking her to come home at once. Joe had tried to be brave up until this point, but she cried when she saw Laurie that night. Laurie did his best to cheer up his great friend and finally said to Joe, Tonight I'll give you something that will warm your heart better than anything else in this world. What is it? Asked Jo, forgetting her worries for a minute. I sent a telegram to your mother yesterday, and Mr. Brooke answered from Washington that she'd come at once. They'll be here tomorrow morning. Aren't you glad I did it? Jo turned pale, flew out of her chair, and threw her arms around Lori's neck. Teddy, you're an angel! Thank you, thank you! Exclaimed Jo. It was past 2 a.m. when Jo, who stood at the window waiting for the return of her mother, heard a movement by Beth's bed. She turned to see Meg, who was also in the room, with her hands covering her face. A horrible fear passed over Jo, thinking that Beth had died. Hannah hurried over to Beth's bed, felt the girl's hands, examined her quickly, and exclaimed, "The fever's turned. She's sleeping naturally, and she breathes easy. Thank heavens!" Before Jo and Meg could believe the happy truth, the doctor came to confirm it. "Yes, dears," he said to them, "I think the little girl will pull through. Let her sleep now." The good news continued with the rising of the sun and the return of their mother to the March house. The meeting of the mother and daughters was full of genuine happiness. Mrs. March never left Beth's side as she recovered from her fever. Jo and Meg finally got to rest, and Lori was sent off to Aunt March's to bring Amy home. Many peaceful weeks followed, and Beth improved each day. The girls were also overjoyed to hear that their father was doing much better, too. As Christmas approached, everyone seemed merrier than usual. Mr. March wrote to say that he should be with everyone soon, and Beth was now able to lie on the sofa, play with the cats, and sew a bit. On Christmas Day, the March family was full of happiness. Everyone was enjoying their gifts when suddenly Lori popped his head into the room where the March girls were sitting. His face was red with excitement, and his voice was full of joy. "Here's another Christmas present for the March family," Lori cried. A minute later, there was a rush toward the door. It was several minutes before Mr. March became visible once his daughters had all stopped hugging him at once. Mr. Brooke was then also able to enter the room behind Mr. March. Once the excitement had passed, Mr. March told everyone how he had wanted to surprise them, but had to wait until he was strong enough. He also mentioned how grateful he was for Mr. Brooke, who devoted himself to Mr. March's care. Mrs. March thanked Mr. Brooke for his faithful care of her husband while glancing at Meg, who was pretending to poke the fire. It seemed clear to everyone that Mr. Brooke might soon ask Meg to marry him, which sent Jo into a fury. That Christmas ended with a delicious dinner and a lovely song by Beth on the piano. The March family had never had a happier Christmas.